Welcome to Falls Creek 2017. My name is Tyler and I am on the facility staff. This is week 4 of 8 weeks of summer youth camp, June 27th. This week we have 4,686 students and adults registered full-time from 117 churches. You are listening to the Tuesday evening service with our guest speaker, Matt Robertson. During the service, there were 197 decisions, including 99 professions of faith. Enjoy.
How's everybody doing tonight? Hey, listen, I want you to know something tonight. It is a privilege to be here with you at Falls Creek. And when you hear stories like that, the reason that those stories are so significant is because God used a place to actually help change someone's story. And I believe tonight that the reason that you're here, one of the reasons God has you seated in the seat that you're in tonight, Tuesday night, Falls Creek, week 4, 2017, is because your story is being written and he wants to write something into you tonight. Are you okay with that? Yeah. Listen, I understand if you're like, hey, you know what? This is my first time at camp. I don't want God writing anything. That's just weird. Look, I get it, okay? But trust me. Trust me, there is nothing that God wastes in our life. Nothing. I was on the phone with a dear friend of mine late last night after our service. And we were walking through some similarities of experiences that we've had. And one of the things that he said, Matt, you just have to understand that God never wastes your pain. And I know I've heard that story my entire life. And after talking last night out of James chapter 1 about the importance of trials and how God uses them to grow us, I was reminded at how many things that God has used to grow and to work on me. And for many of you tonight, I still say you went to bed last night going, whoa. All the stuff happening in my life is happening for a reason. And again, just from last night, and if you're with us tonight for the first time, or if you're watching online, I want to tell you something tonight. We talked through James chapter 1, and we said this, your pain is not put there for your punishment, it is put there for your growth. And what we want to do all week long together is we want to increase our capacity to be in relationship with the God of the universe. For some of you, here's what that means. It means that when you breathe in, you need to invite Jesus into your life for the first time. You need to breathe in the depth of the air that he is breathing into your lungs, the purpose in life, and all the things that you feel like life is lacking and the holes that are there. You just need to say, hey, God, I just want to surrender to you. And that may be what happens to you this week. I pray that God introduces himself to you in a real way. Some of you did that last night. Still for others of you, you've been to camp, you go to church, that's a part of your life. And you need to increase your capacity so that you can grow up in the things of God. Your life needs to represent him more focused, more clearly, and I'm praying that for you this week. And so we made a pledge together, didn't we, last night? Who was in here, you made a pledge last night? Let me see your hands. Is anybody excited to be at camp tonight? Because I'm not feeling the love right now. What's going on? Okay, all right, good. We made a pledge last night. We said, this week at Falls Creek, repeat after me. Yeah, we talked like that, but that sounds a little bit like this week at Falls Creek. Okay, no, I need a little bit of conviction. This week at Falls Creek. Yes, that's kind of what I'm talking about.
I commit
to sing loud when I worship God. To listen carefully for the voice of God. And to respond to the tug of God. You committed? Good. Can we just tell our worship team thank you tonight for ushering in the presence of a living and holy God tonight? It's great. If you have your Bible, I want to see it tonight. I want you just to hold it up like this, okay? Hold it up high. We're going to say this every night, but the Bible is all we need. God says that this is alive and active. It says it's sharper than any sword. It's able to divide. It's able to pierce the heart. It's able to discern the intentions of what's going on inside of us. This is a powerful thing, and that's why we go to it every night, right? Would you stand with me, and would you turn to James chapter 1 one more time? Somebody likes the Bible in the room. I'm good with that. you got it, say, I got it. All right, the rest of you need to work on your whole, like, okay, never mind. I won't say that. Here's where we are. Last night we walked through verse number 12. Tonight we're going to start in verse number 13. James 1, verse 13. I'm going to read it over you tonight. You guys follow along in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, just pay close attention, okay? And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. But temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God the Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes. He never casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give us birth by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you are prized by God. Hey, young man, that is not a pickup line, okay? That's not what you want to do. Doesn't work like that. You may be seated. Okay, anytime this group is real chatty. It's a real chatty group, aren't you? You like to talk? All right, so we'll do a little response tonight. Here's the thing. The first words of this passage, he says, when tempted. He doesn't say if you're tempted. He doesn't say for those of you who are tempted. He just says when tempted. And here's what he means. He means when tempted. It's going to happen to you. But everyone in this room has different tendencies and things that like to pull us in certain directions, and they're all different. Each and every one of us is very unique. God made every one of you so unique, and you are prized by God. But in the intricacy of who you are and the things that he created you to be, the things that he created you to do, there are also this group of tendencies that you aspire to. Let me give you an example in my own life. I am completely OCD. Can I get an amen in the room tonight? Anybody OCD? I do not like the fact that, like, things aren't perfectly square and centered. Like, even when I'm sitting here, I need to, like, move my iPad, and my Bible needs to be opened right, and the thing needs to be right in the center. Anybody else? I have any OCD? Yeah, you know what it's like. You know how funny God is? My wife doesn't even know what those words mean. My wife just thinks in piles. I got an amen on that too. Does anybody else think in piles? Look, I have deep abiding relationships with the people on this stage. This is actually, these are all friends of mine. We all go to church together. It's kind of a unique thing for us this week. There are a couple of OCD people on this team. The majority of artists are not what we would call OCD. Do you know what I'm saying? This guitar player right over here, who I love with all my heart, his name's David. David is not OCD. If you walk into David's office, I have to literally, like, take blood pressure medication before I walk in. My friend Stephen, no OCD tendencies in that boy's life at all. Stephen thinks it's just a stream of consciousness. He can't remember where he went from. He just doesn't focus on details. You know what I'm saying? Nobody knows what I'm saying tonight. Let me help you understand about Stephen's tendencies, because he's not even here to defend himself, which is beautiful. It's totally right. Stephen and I have been friends for over 12 years. Yeah, everybody's like, oh, that's so sweet. That's just known each other a long time. Okay. Stephen has been a worship leader. He had a band prior to he and I kind of being on the same team, and I had a band at the time. I led worship for many of you guys at Falls Creek, at different camps throughout the country. Stephen and his wife, Rachel, they have a band in of themselves. And we would kind of tag team with instrumentalists, and we would utilize personnel to kind of help each other out. Oh, now you're in the room. Stephen's in the room. Man, I love you. I love you. Forgive me right now. Just going to ask you. Okay, so here's what happened. Late one night, Stephen and his band are coming through Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is where I lived at the time. Shout out to Tulsa, everybody, Tulsa fans. Okay. Don't boo Tulsa, that's a horrible thing. They're in your state. Yeah. This is a chatty group, Andy. This is a chatty group. And so Stephen and his band were coming through one night, and I said, hey man, I'm going to be out of town. I need you to lead worship for me at the church that I was currently, it was Liberty Church in Tulsa, and I was there, and I said, hey man, I need you to lead worship while I'm gone. He's like, cool, we don't really have a place to stay. That's a good stopping point. We'd be happy to do that, and then we'll go on our way. And I said, listen, some of the guys from my band will actually be driving through as well, and they're going to be staying at the house that night, namely one guy. And so if you see a guy like on a couch or in one of the bedrooms, like, don't freak out. Not a big deal. He's like, no problem. So I told Stephen, I said, hey, here's the address. Here's where we live. That's detail number one. I said, here's the address. Here's where we live. And it's hard in that particular neighborhood because the mailboxes are all kind of clustered together. You know what I mean? So sometimes it's, especially late at night, it's kind of hard to know where the address is. And so Stephen and his band, I said, hey, when you get there, just pull into the driveway. There's a gate on the right, and there's kind of a walk path that goes around to the back. When you get to the back, there's a hook on the back of the door. The door should have a key hanging on it. I'll leave it there for you. I'll make sure that my friend Chance leaves it there, and you guys can just, it's going to be fine. You guys do your thing. Lead worship in the morning. Everything good. He's like, great, we got it. There's a key on the back. Detail number two. And so Stephen and his family, for whatever reason, the band, everyone was with him. He had his kids with him, his wife with him, and all the band members with him. They finally pull up, and it was late, y'all. It was like after midnight. They had to lead worship the next morning. So they're exhausted. And just like I said, Stephen pulled up. There's a car in the driveway, parks it, sees the gate, got it, walks around, got the detail thus far, gets around to the back, sees the hook, no key. So he starts taking his cell phone out and looking around in the bushes. It's like, what's going on? I can't find it. The drummer, Josh, is with him too. Josh is like, I'll start looking around. They start pinging around. The key might have dropped off of here. Maybe his friend Chance, maybe he unlocked it and took it in. So Josh goes to the back door. Ah, he did. It's unlocked. Awesome. Josh opens the door and they begin to walk into the house. They get into the house, sure enough, just like we said, there's one guy in a bed sitting on there, and Stephen has his cell phone with the light, and he's looking at the guy. Must be Chance. Don't know Chance. And something happened in that moment. A few details that Stephen did remember, namely like the faces of the people in my family, weren't on the walls. That's not Matt's family. And then some other details after a long relationship. Yeah, Jennifer doesn't really decorate homes like this. Not only is that not Matt's family, this is not Matt's house. Y'all, he was inside a house in Oklahoma in the middle of the night that was not mine. Yeah, for some of you, you're just letting it sink in. So real quickly, they're backing out of the thing. They're freaking out. They get into the car. They pull away. Not only that, they start hearing sirens. I don't know if the guy was faking being asleep and was freaking out himself, but it was not our house. They had gone to the wrong address. They eventually found the address. They stayed at my house, and it all worked out. But here's my point tonight. Stephen has a tendency to first forget the details. He always nails the purpose. He nails the truth behind it, but sometimes it gets scattered along the way. Do I have any of those in the room? It's okay to be. You can admit it. It's fine. Everybody around you knows it, by the way, but you, if you're not admitting it right now. He didn't tell me that story till a year later. Small detail to forget. Thanks, Stephen. But here's the thing. It's these little things in life. For me, like I said, I'm OCD. I like things in their place. You know that these are the places that the enemy likes to come after me and tempt me. Because OCD is connected to good things. I like order. God created me that way. The problem is this. In my own nature, if I don't let God lead my life, I will tend to run in the wrong direction and be pulled by the wrong voices. And so what OCD does is it tends to drive me to a sense of controlling everybody that's around me. You do it my way, and here's why. And if you don't do it my way, it's not as good, which isn't true at all. None of you heard me say that. It's not true at all, is it? But when I'm led by the wrong voices, when tempted, God says, when you're tempted, don't say, I'm the voice that's pulling you that direction. God, why is this happening to me? I feel like I want to take a drink of that. I want to look at that image. God says, listen, that is not my voice. Says God does not, he is not tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone with evil. Listen to what it says. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And sin, when the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it gives birth to death. Did you know that there was a man named Jesus that came to our earth? He was the Son of God. You've heard of him, I assume. The Bible says that Jesus was fully God and fully man. Listen, I don't understand all of how that works, but I do know this. Here's what it means. It means that the tug in Jesus's life were the same as yours. He had a desire to be pulled in his own direction, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the temptations in your life are no different from what he experienced. Hebrews 4:14 says, we have a high priest. He is able to empathize with our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he was without sin. He never gave in to the wrong voice. Now, when I read that, I get super convicted. That means I really feel down on myself. I don't want you to feel down on yourself. I just want you to recognize something tonight. If the consistent voice in our heads is ours or the opinions of others, and it's not the voice of God, we will find our life lived in a direction with purposelessness, with questions, with a lack of clarity, with frustrations at every turn. And some of you are there tonight. All the trials we talked about last night, that would just define the last 5 years of your life. I want you to know something. It's okay. It's okay, because we told you what we want for you this week is we want you to hear the voice of God. We want you to sing loud and worship God. And we want you to give in to the tug of God. You know that feeling you feel when the Spirit of God and 5,000 plus voices are lifting up worship to the Lord. You know what you're feeling? You're feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. And his voice is trying to knock on the door of your heart and mind, because he wants to be the loudest voice in your head. Temptation isn't from God. We too often pray, hey, God, take this temptation away from me. And all the while, God is saying, no, I'm not the temptation, so I'm not going to take it away, but I will provide for you a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, the temptations in your life are no different than what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. But your ear has to be tuned in to his voice. Your ear has to be tuned in to his voice. Because on our own, on your own, on my own, I will always fall prey to my own tendencies and my own temptations. I will seek to control others. I will try to numb my problems. I will do whatever I can to avoid confrontation. Whatever your tendency is tonight, anytime somebody comes and tries to confront you about life and what's going on, one of your fellow sponsors stands up to you and says, hey, you know what? I've really been thinking about you. And you're like, you know what? If this is about to get real, I am out. I just want to encourage you. You might be listening to the wrong voice. All the while, God might be speaking through one of his servants, a follower of Jesus Christ. You know why? Because that's what he wants for your life too. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is the desire for each and every person in this room that you would be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Look around at how many people that is. You know that Jesus changed the world with only 12 of these? Each and every one of you is sitting here tonight because of the work of Jesus, the hours of relationship that he poured into these 12 men called his disciples. And his voice and his mission was the loudest in their ear. And because of it, they were clear and their life was purposeful. And though they came against trials and they struggled and they were tempted and they had their own tendencies, they knew what to do with them in the moment. And they allowed the Holy Spirit to pull them into the right direction. And some of you tonight, you need to give in to the pull. You just need to give in. You're fighting so hard against the voice of God. Listen, he's the one that created you. That means he's the one that gives you purpose. And if you will follow his voice, you will find more than you could have ever imagined waiting for you on the other side. But you have to give into the tug. We all have tendencies. You guys ever walk into a, what's your favorite grocery store here in Oklahoma? What do we got? Walmart? That's your favorite grocery store? Okay, all right, yeah, I didn't mean to start arguments amongst 5,000 people. Okay, I get it. No, listen, in Texas, there's two big ones, right? In Houston, there's Kroger and there's HEB. Yeah, Kroger's that store that you go to when you need something real quick, and HEB's when you're gonna wanna spend an afternoon, you know what I mean? It's an experience. I like to drive my daughter past the cheese aisle because it stinks real bad and it kind of makes this funny dialogue between her. It's pretty funny. ADD moment, I apologize. You ever walk into a store and you grab a shopping cart and as you walk, it just kind of just starts taking you in a circle. Like, anybody? What do you do with that cart in the moment? I have very unwholesome thoughts in that moment because I'm OCD. I need things to go straight when I push them. The cart without the wheel, who's running point on this thing? They need to get this thing out of here. They need to get it fixed. Where's the manager? I need to talk to him. This is unacceptable. Can't stand it. Even talking about it makes me like I sweat. I know it's ridiculous. Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, that's me. We're gonna have a support group on Thursday. It's together, it's good. But there's this thing about that cart that it always pulls away. And I don't know about you. My dad was like so driven. He's like, this shopping cart, I don't care what's going on. I'm driven and I'm gonna go get what I need. And he'd push right through the turn. He didn't care. But I can't do that because I will never select the shopping cart that doesn't push the way that I want it to push. So what do? I'm like looking around. I might even steal somebody's out of the aisle if I have to. There's nothing in their box. There's nothing in my buggy. All right. That's good. Nobody chooses the cart that just constantly pulls away. Except God. You know, because I have this tendency to constantly have a flat tire on my left side. It's called my tendencies. It's called my sin nature is what the Bible calls it. I kind of run my own life. I do my own thing. I run in my own direction. And God's like, I wish you would quit running in circles because I'm just gonna take you another lap around the mountain until you figure it out. You can't confess that sin. You can't realize it, call it what it is. I'm just gonna get there and let you run in circles. And God's like, but I sent my son Jesus and he's a really, really good repair man. He'll take the front wheel. He'll take the back wheel. He'll look at the wheels of your shopping cart. He'll take that cart. He'll replace it with a new one. And he can steer you and guide you in whichever way that he goes, but you have to surrender to the tug. The Bible says that we're tempted when we're drawn away by our own desires. So there's one path that we can take, which is we can listen to the voice of God. And some of you are gonna listen to his voice tonight and you're gonna walk from death to life. And we're gonna throw a party in here, by the way, when that happens. Because God's been talking to you way before Falls Creek. He just brought you here to do it. But there's another group that still says, in light of what you say, Matt, and I think you're cool and I like you and everything and it's good and I'm enjoying camp, but I am not going that direction. You're going to continue to listen to this voice. Do I have any people that like to hunt in the room? Any hunters in the room? Yeah, wow, lots of you. Cool. Listen, I'm just new to hunting, about 3 years. I grew up in Chicago. The problem with Chicago is you don't carry a gun in Chicago. You're a different kind of human being in Chicago if you have a gun, right? Oklahoma and Texas, Stephen could have got shot in that guy's house because you guys all have guns, and that's crazy. Yep, Oklahoma and Texas like to carry guns. Arkansas likes them too. Chatty, chatty, chatty. Stay with me, stay with me. Almost done. Shh, stay with me. Real good friend of mine named Brandon and I were elk hunting in Idaho. I was using a bow. That's a very primitive form of hunting. So I thought. That bow has more levers and gadgets than anything I'd ever seen. It was my first time. Pretty excited. Now, elk hunting is a lot like turkey hunting or with ducks where you call them in. It's not like deer hunting in Texas where you go feed them corn and blow their brains out. All right? It's an actual hunt. That's not hunting. That's stalking. Better yet, that's called like playing taps baseball on your phone while you're waiting to kill something. Anybody that Facebook lives from a hunting blind is messed up. You missed the whole point. And so I'm hunting with this friend of mine, and he goes, here, listen, I'm going to go down here, and I'm gonna put you on this game trail. And it was a long hike down, and I was tired. First time ever. Now, I don't know if you know how big an elk is in the Northwest, but a female weighs between 600 and 800 pounds. Big, that's right. A bull, a male elk, between 1,000, maybe 1,200 pounds. The big ones, maybe 15. And Brandon and I were hunting, and there was this moment where he said, look, everything we've talked about, he taught me how to shoot my bow. We worked on it in my backyard. I had a target, and I was dead on, and I knew exactly. I felt very confident. We hiked down in there. He said, his dad was with us. We called his dad Bugs. He goes, Bugs is going to go down that way. He was about where the exit sign is on that side. Everybody look over there. He's about that far away. Brandon was about the exit sign on that far away, but he was moving down this direction, and I was standing on what's called a game trail. It's just this place where animals walk back and forth consistently, and so it mats it down. And I'm standing there, and I'm in a hollowed out tree. Huge, huge redwood from way back in the day that had burned out by fire. So that elk cannot see me, but I can kind of see up there. And sure enough, 9 o'clock in the morning, we've been waiting a couple of hours. Brandon starts cow calling, which means, hey, I need you to come to me. He starts enticing and tempting the bull.
Yeah,
I don't know how a 1,200 pound animal comes to that, but I'm like, everywhere, he and his dad. Droom, droom, droom. I tried it one time. He's like, no, you don't do that. You stick to this. We do this. We're good. I was like, okay. So I put an arrow. And as I'm standing there, I'm getting tired because this thing's not coming. And I'm listening. I'm like, I thought this was the moment. I could kind of hear. I'm like, oh. My arrow starts going ting, 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 ting. It starts tinking against the piece of moleskin that keeps it quiet when it sits on the bridge of the, it had come off in the hike. And so the arrow's knocking against metal and it's making noise. And of course, I'm like, Brandon's gonna kill me. He's like Grizzly Adams, I'm Chicago boy, I don't know what I'm doing. So I took my finger like this and I put it over the arrow like that. And it got real quiet and I was like, I'm waiting. And I looked the part, man, I'm face painted up, got the camo hat on, couldn't even see me right now. And I'm standing there, and he goes,
yeah.
And I hear it. My heart, you know the first time you got pulled over by a police officer? My heart did that. It did that, y'all. It's crazy. Almost peed my pants in the woods. And I grabbed a hold of that thing, and sure enough, I'm waiting. And it comes running down the hill, and it skids to a stop about where that little keyboard is right here. He's about right there. I'm about right here. Maybe 12 yards max. And he's looking at Brandon because he doesn't see me, which is awesome for me. He's probably mid-sized bull, a lot bigger than 4'11" freshman. I forgot to take my finger off the arrow. Yeah, I learned my lesson, okay, for all of you. But here's what happens. I pull, boom, and it pulled right off the string. So now I don't have an arrow. And so the arrow is just sitting there in my face like this. And I'm holding because I don't know what else to do. And I'm shaking because I'm nervous. And the bull does this right here. He's full broadside. He's ready to be hung on my wall, and I'm so excited. Except that I don't have an arrow. That's a problem when you're hunting. And he just looks like this. Looks right at me. This exchange went a while. My arm's getting tired, y'all. That's a 75-pound pull. It was tough. And I'm like, what do I do? I can hear Brandon, shoot him. I'm like, I can't shoot him. An arrow. And eventually what happens is I have to let the bow go, and by the time I go to knock the arrow, that thing has turned around and taken off. And I missed, yeah, everybody for me. Yeah, I missed it. You're like, what did that have to do with anything? Here's the deal. Hunters have figured out what to do with an animal to entice them, to gain access to their world, and in just the right moment, to call them into a place of complete and utter vulnerability in order to take their life. And for you tonight, for me tonight, that is exactly what the enemy wants to do with your temptations. He wants to draw you right down to the place where you always go, right to the edge. Here's the difference between the enemy and me. I'm not a skilled hunter. He's extremely crafty and good. He's been hunting you a lot longer than I've been hunting elk. And he is after your soul. He wants to rob you of life in Jesus Christ. And he's going to use your temptations and the nature that you have and the tendencies that you have to listen to the wrong voices to draw you in and to take your life. Verse 16. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving his true word to us. That's his son Jesus, by the way. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are created by him. Without him, nothing has been made that was made. In him was light. It was the life and the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness. That means that his son came to this earth and he was tempted in every way, just as you were. But he was without sin. You know what that means? That means that even though you and I tend to give into our tendencies and we tend to fail in those particular ways, it's not the end for us. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not just you, me too. But there was a moment in my life at 16 years old when I remembered that just because I grew up in the church and I was around the church a lot and I kind of did everything by the rules, I realized that my sin was still the thing in front of my relationship with God. I was still listening to the wrong voices. I had a lot of the right answers, I just had the wrong motives. I was following God to measure up and to add up, and God was saying, you can never add up, you can never measure up, that's why I sent my son for you. And for some of you, you're sitting here tonight and you're like, yeah, Matt, but you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but God does. You gave in with that human being. You need repentance and you need forgiveness for sin. But listen, you can be made well. Amen? You took a sip and it led to something that you didn't know was going to happen, and now it's a daily war for you. Listen, you need to quit listening to the voices that are in your head, and you need to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God trying to say, hey, come my way. I created you. I made you. I have purpose for you. I love you. The enemy doesn't love you. The word says that he seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. But God chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, his son. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. For somebody here tonight, you need to give in to the love and the tug of the voice of God. That's what you need to do. The enemy has toyed with you. He's messed with you in life. He's messed with you in your family situations. He's messed with you with your siblings. He's messed with you with your friends. You begin to define yourself by what other people say. You begin to define yourself by the things that you accomplish. And all the while, God says, hey, why don't you define yourself by who I call you? But at first, the first thing you're going to have to do is you have to shut those other voices out and you have to respond to me. And he says this, though we've all sinned and fall short, he says the wages of that sin is death. You and I are all going to die. Hebrews says, it's appointed a man once to die, and after that, we're going to be judged. We're going to stand before God. We're going to have to give an account for the way that we lived our life. Did we live our life listening to our own voices, to our own tendencies, or did we give in to the tug of God, and did we find ourselves on mission and in purpose and living life intentionally for the cause of Jesus Christ? That is why you were created. Someone needs to experience that love tonight. You need to quit striving. You need to quit giving into your own desires, and it's time to lay it on the line for Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come join me, and we're going to respond right now. There's somebody in this room, and you're like, Matt, you're talking to me. Listen, I'm going to give you a chance. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the Spirit of God. That's the feeling. You're like, I need to do this. I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. I know that he died for me. I know that he was buried and that he was raised again. I believe it. But I've never proclaimed it with my life. I've never chosen to follow him with my life. And you need to do it tonight.